Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey everybody, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have with me an amazing, amazing speaker, author, EOS implementer. You are going to learn all about her today. In fact, we're going to be teaching you how to get paid the money that you deserve. How many of you would love that? In fact, if you can see me, if you can hear me, go ahead, type in where you're from. I am checking right now. I think we're live. I think people are here. So let me bring on the famous, the amazing Jill Young. Jill, welcome to the live stream today. How you doing?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah. This is a special day. This is pretty cool. In fact, we're going to be giving away a ton of prizes for people who don't know what a launch party is. But Jill, I'm holding up two amazing books that I've read over the last few days, and we're going to talk about both of them today. But look at this, by the way, we have people already jumping in. We want to give a shout out to Brenda from Cedarville, Ohio. Daphne's watching from Chicago. I love it, in a vehicle, not while she's driving.
Hi, Daphne.
We have Brenda. We have Janisha, the best way to spell that name. Wow, look at that. Amanda's here, Marissa. So thank you, everybody, for being here. But let's jump right in, my friend. We live in an economy right now where some people are saying, you know what, I'm unemployed, or I don't know how to get a raise. I wish I had a job. And yet this book literally gives you 8 tools on how to get paid the money that you want. Super relevant. Jill, tell us why, tell us the context. You have this fun little story about when people get this book.
Well, I have some experiences where kind of way back in my life, maybe 10 or more years ago, where I was actually working in HR. And I noticed, you know, this is just some kind of context of how I wrote the book, but I noticed that I was working for this company and we were in the middle of a big layoff. We were moving locations. We had done some strategic positioning and we didn't need several of this one type of position. So we were laying people off. That's actually what my job was to pull people off. Why they were being let go. Oh, it was just heart-wrenching. But on the very same topic, but the other side of the coin, there were also people that we were keeping. And we weren't only just keeping them, we were keeping them and giving them a raise. So it was just one part of where this just kind of sparked in my brain, what is it about these people where some people would get laid off, but other people are getting raises? So that's part of how I wrote the book, The Earning Advantage. Look, I almost said earn it.
Well, you know what? You did change the title. In fact, we're going to be talking about that today. And I want to just encourage people, listen, what we're talking about today, just so you want to pay attention, you want to listen in. First of all, we're going to be giving away signed copies of each book. That's pretty cool. We're going to be giving away Writer Academy Elite, a very cool subscription program to help writers. We're going to be giving away this engagement and influence prize. But the other thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about how Jill writes books, because I'm always fascinated how writers write books. And you have this unique way. And then we're also going to be talking about the courage advantage. And this is fantastic for people who really need to make a courageous decision in their life. So this is like the most packed hour of content. Here's what people need to do. They need to share this live stream because Erica's managing the comments and whoever is the most engaged member. In other words, the members who are sharing, posting, tagging friends, saying you need to check this out. In fact, you're worth a raise. You know, check out this live stream. So go ahead and do that. And Jill, let's jump right in. You talk about that, you know, I'm a CEO, but you talk about how when someone goes to a CEO and says, hey, I'd like a raise, tell us that little vignette that you tell us, because I think it's fascinating.
Sure, sure. So if you are a boss, you are going to recognize yourself in this conversation. If you are a team member who's asking for a raise, this little story might be news to you. And again, I've learned this through my own experiences and watching the bosses that I coach. Yes. So here's what happens. So an employee walks into a boss, usually unannounced, in the middle of a busy day or a busy quarter, and the employee says something like, hey, boss, can I have a raise? And in the boss's mind, there's just a lot of chaos, confusion, turmoil, fear, pain. There's rarely a time where a boss thinks, oh my gosh, this is a fantastic day.
Yes.
He's asking for a raise. Now, I'm training bosses on the other side to really look at this experience as, yes, I actually want people to ask for a raise, because
that's a crazy concept, first of
it's
all.
It's a crazy concept.
I don't think employees realize that. Like, a boss is actually excited for this conversation if they're a good boss.
That's right. But here's the secret. When an employee comes in and says, hey, boss, can I have a raise? That triggers a fear chaos response in your boss. And whenever there's a fear response triggered in a human being's body, boss or no boss, they want to protect themselves. So their very first instinct is to say, no, I don't have time for this, and to find every reason to not give you a raise. So in the book, The Earning Advantage, I do go through some very good steps that say, this is how you approach even asking for a raise. So hopefully I get to talk a little bit about that today so you can be armed with the best way to ask for a raise.
But
Absolutely. Just the other side of that, when you go in and you're asking for this raise, if you're a team member, to know the best way to ask that, to invite a creative response and a possibility response within your boss, then you just open up, you just open them up for a really great productive conversation. Now, if you're a boss and you're being asked this question, you just simply take a deep breath. And you say to the team member asking for a raise, you say something like, hey, oh my goodness, Carrie, this is a really big day. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. Read this book, right? And come talk to me in 2 weeks. Because the boss or the employee is not ready to have a conversation about a raise yet. It takes a little bit of time, and I love both the boss and the team member to be in the right mindset to, again, just get on the same page with what it means to be productive.
I love it. I love it. And we're talking about this important topic. A lot of times you see things going on in government and people are like, raise minimum wage and all this, and it affects products that, you know, now restaurants are going to charge food that's so expensive. Yeah. But in an entrepreneurial company, when you're asking for a raise, the only way that that makes sense and the only way that the employee feels good and the boss feels good is in this value creation. In the book, you talk about that value creation. What does that mean for people who maybe, you know, it's a new term? Why does it make sense totally? And by the way, folks, love this book. She has what's called the Mindset Scorecard. I love pictures in books. I'm going to be honest, I do. But you have graphs, you have charts, you have all these fantastic things. But talk to us about what value creation is.
Sure. So I love the word you used. You said value creation. And that is absolutely critical. We need to create value. Value, if we're going to get really, really raw and right down to it, value is either increasing revenue or decreasing cost. There's many different ways to do that. It's actually in one of the chapters of the book. I give you lots of good ideas according to what your job is. But if we get really down to the basics, it's either increasing revenue or decreasing costs. And you can do that when you're in any position in the whole entire company. But not only just create it, because you're doing it every day, by the way. You wouldn't even have a job unless you were increasing revenues or decreasing expenses, getting the products out to the customers in a timely manner. All of that goes to those two things. But Carrie, more than even creating value in order to, because here you go, you've created value and you're getting paid for that value you're creating. If you want to raise, you need to increase that that
value. Wow.
So there's something else that you need to do. Either it's you're going to be thinking a different way or solving something.
Yeah.
This doesn't always mean working longer hours. Sometimes people think, well, I just got to work harder or longer. And yes, that totally works up to a point. So you realize I'm still getting paid the same money, but yet my day is now 13 hours and 14 hours long. Something's got to change. Yes. So we talk about a few options there in the book.
Yes. Well, I see this comment by a great doctor that is fantastic. Her name's Brenda, but she basically says, if you don't value your employee, why are they working for you? Which is a great point. Mm-hmm. But I think in your book, you also go deeper, and it's not just like, let's face it. Why is there difference in pay structure? In other words, you know, if we lived in a certain type of government, everyone would get paid the same for whatever effort they put in and whatever value they create. But why are some people literally on planet Earth getting $10 an hour, some a dollar an hour, some a dollar a day, and some $10,000 an hour? Explain that concept, because I don't think it's just effort and, hey, I'm working hard.
Talk
a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's not just effort. In fact, I'm going to go back to my days as being a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
Bless your hearts, moms and dads.
There's one that has 7 or 9 kids right here, April. Yes.
Yeah. Bless your hearts if you are at home and that is your number one job. Because I've said to my friends who that is their number one job, they don't work outside the home, I've said, your job is the hardest thing on the planet. I've been a stay-at-home mom. And if we were calculating value to effort, I would be a triple millionaire by now. Because that's a really hard job. You put in a ton of effort, a ton of hours, you never get a vacation. So we're not paid for our effort. If we were, right, all the stay-at-home moms and dads, you'd get be paid so much.
Yes, yes.
I think it's not gonna be the effort. There is something in there about supply and demand. So we have to address supply and demand. And when we talk about supply and demand, we say at a skill level, if you have a very high skill level, there's probably less of a supply of you to go around. So you're going to get paid more. That's just how our economy works.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a low skill level, so I hope some of my teenagers are watching this right now. They said maybe they would. So hello, teenagers. But here's, oh my gosh, my cousin Susie is here. Hi,
Susie's here.
Lookalikes.
Love it.
If you have a low skill level, then there just generally is going to be more of a supply. So here's what you can do. It's very simple. It's very simple. If you want to increase your value, increase your skills.
Wow.
And then in a pool of people who it is just a little more scarce.
Yeah. You're so right. I saw this thing on Facebook a few years ago where they showed this guy climbing up this massive tower, like crazy tower, so tall. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet. He gets paid $18,000 for changing the light bulb on that thing because nobody else wants to do this thing. And it's like life risking. So you're right. Like sometimes it's that scary thing, but sometimes it's skill. Like if you want LeBron James, there's only one. And people argue a lot of times, like, why are these athletes being paid so much? but they have a skill, and supposedly nobody else can meet that skill. Yeah.
I have one more for you too. Why are
go something? For it.
And I'm going to call it sacrifice.
Oh, okay.
Sacrifice. It's being able to put off what feels good today for what your future self really wants to be tomorrow.
Interesting.
So I'm just going to share a fun little story with you.
Yeah.
My business has obviously gone through the same thing that all of the other businesses have gone through in the last 4 or 5 months. And I heard friends saying things like, I'm not going to worry too much about my clients because they're going to do what they do.
Whoa.
I also heard them saying things like, my clients don't want me bugging them. They have enough to do.
Wow.
And then I also heard some friends saying, I've just binge watched these five
Netflix
programs.
Oh, yeah.
And at some point, Carrie, I was tired, right? Because I coach your team. I was relentless on, we are getting through this together.
Oh, yeah.
And sacrifice some personal time to really go for it.
Yeah.
To really go for it. And there were times where I thought, oh my gosh, I would just love to sit down and binge watch something. But it's the sacrifice.
Yeah.
So are you going to get up early and go to work and be the first person there? You're going to sacrifice 15 minutes of sleep. Are you going to really sit down and think about a solution that the company needs, or are you going to go to happy hour with your friend? So it's some of it is sacrifice too. Yeah. Hi, Mom.
Darlene says hi. What is up? Fantastic.
If you don't do a shout out to your mom, you're just not a very nice
person. You are in trouble. Exactly.
And you'll be in trouble.
That's right. But you have your cousins, you have you, plus you have people from Jamaica and the UK. I mean, just saying. But this is a manual. This isn't just flighty, you know, hey, let's earn more. You really give people a plan. And in fact, in one of the appendix, you actually say, like, let's come out with your plan.
And
there's a template. And for that scary conversation that most people have, you actually give them strategies. I just came from a great meeting with Amanda and Brenda.
I love them.
Oh, yeah. And they're watching, I bet. But they literally saved me from making a really dumb decision.
Mm.
You know, like, I was like, oh, we should have this idea and we should do this. And they called me off the ledge and said, here, great idea, but let's change it. The value in my mind of both of them raised up. So let's talk about that. How can you raise your value in the eyes of your boss?
You know, one thing that I talk about in the book, and it's become more popular, I would say maybe in the last 3 to 5 years, is the value of being open and honest with your boss.
Okay.
Page in there where I even shout it out in big bold letters, and I know the editors don't like me to use bolding because it feels like I'm shouting, but in this case I'm really shouting. Your boss needs you to be open and honest with them. In the past, bosses were really used to being fed what they wanted to hear. Right now, more than ever,
they want the truth.
The truth. They need the truth. Your boss cannot keep their eyes and ears on everything. And sometimes, Carrie, earmuffs, sometimes your boss doesn't have the best ideas. And
that
need
is the truth. No, it was absolutely true.
Yep. But please be open and honest with your boss. That's going to raise your value in their eyes. And I've had some people say, because this book is not for everybody, this book is for the bold. When you read this book, it's not full of tricks and easy little slick sayings to reverse psychology. It's none of that. It's the truth.
Yeah.
And I have had people say, oh, but this is hard. I have to be courageous to follow your 8 tools. I'm like, ta-da.
And that's where you say, hey, get my other book.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
Yep. So being open and honest is one of the very biggest ways that you can raise your value. Mm-hmm. And if your boss says, I don't want to hear that from you, it could be that your skills will be valuable somewhere
elsewhere. So good.
My company, the companies that want people to be open and honest.
I love it. Nice. Erica, if we're going to give away the first gift, a signed copy of the Earning Advantage. So who wants it? Go ahead, type in the chat if you want it. I know a bunch of people are saying this here. So the first winner is Janisa Morton. So nice. Janisa Morton, congrats to you, the Earning Advantage. Love it. Jill, I used to think that people would make more money because of luck or chance or knowing the right people or, you know, all these little phrases that we say, but you really believe that with a good boss, it all comes down to how much value you bring the company.
I do. And I do want to acknowledge the fact that luck, what did you say? Luck,
knowing chance. It's not what you know, it's who you know and all that stuff.
This is what I think about those things. I think those three things can get you a job.
Mm.
I've seen it happen 100 times. I know this person. I know this person is hiring and they give favorites. So I think those three things can absolutely get you a job. They will not get you a raise.
That's quotable. Ouch. Look at that. Erica, share that one. Say it again. Say it again. Luck, chance.
Luck, chance, and
who you know. And who you know.
Yeah, luck.
Chance, and who you know may get you a job, but it won't get you a raise.
That's right. That's right.
That was good. That was good. And Janisa is saying, wow, because she got the book, and wow, because she got the quote. So this is great, folks. I see a lot of you tagging people, sharing this. And I'll tell you why you want to share this. Because you're basically telling your friend or your family, I think you have value. In other words, you wouldn't share this if you thought, you know what, I'm not going to share this with my friends and family because they don't have value. You see potential in other people. So now is the chance to share this. In fact, if you share this, type in the word shared and start tagging some friends. You're changing people's minds, Jill. Cassandra said, I never thought of it that way. So anything else on this book? Oh, I almost forgot. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This I love. This I love. Talk to us about this little thing because, folks, this is so true. We've seen this happen. We have core values now, but talk about rats, stars, puppies, and terrorists.
All right. Yes. So first of all, I'm going to preface this by saying, remember I told you that this book is hard? And it's simple. You can do this. You got to have a little bit of courage. But one of the things that I do is I'm going to speak the truth to you. I do not want to pull the wool over your eyes. Part of what this book is about is opening your eyes to how your boss is seeing you. So I've created this little matrix right here. Uh-huh. And it basically says, if you are the kind of person that matches the culture of this company and you are a high performer, we call you a star. We call you a star. Now, sometimes companies can't afford to hire stars. It takes a long time for stars to really shine. So We hire puppies. Puppies are just people who really match your culture. They're just pleasant to be around, but they are not such high performers yet, and we need to train them. So sometimes you might be a puppy, and so you're not going to make a lot of money right now. You still need to be trained. Just know that and have a nice path for training. But if we drop down to the bottom here, if you're just not the right person for the company, you just don't fit the culture, and you're not a high performer, we call you a rat. That sucks. That means you're just the kind of person who is coming to work and you're just pleasant enough to work with not to get fired. And you're just perform just enough not to get fired. And the bosses are going to find you and you're not going to make more money. And then, of course, the last category, this is where you're a really high performer. You get a lot of stuff done, but you're just not a really good culture fit for the company. And so when people see you coming, they want to hide and they don't want to collaborate with you because maybe you're mean or that company's version of mean. We call you a terrorist.
That's right.
You're holding the company back. And here's the big news flash. you're not going to make more money unless you're in that star category.
Interesting.
You don't need to be a superstar. It's not 10 tens all over the place, but you do need to end up in that quadrant. And any of the other quadrants, the rat, you're just stagnant. The puppy, you're not performing enough to add value. The terrorist, you're actually extracting value from the company because you're making everybody else feel a little bit crappier and they're not being productive. And your bosses know this and they want you to be a star. So the whole rest of the book is about like getting you to be a star.
Absolutely. Now, when I heard this, I mean, it's fantastic. I'm a visual dude. So when I heard this, we were in Texas. We got the last flight out. Jill trained our team. In fact, tell us about Traction First behind you.
Oh yeah. So Traction First, this is my company. This is what I do. This is what I do during the day when I'm not writing. This is what I do when I'm with clients. So I'm a business coach, but I'm a very specific type of business coach. I'm an EOS implementer. And that just means that I work with entrepreneurs like Kerry and his leadership team to just systematically get them everything they want. And then from those sessions, I glean lots of wisdom and I package them into books. That's what we do.
I love it. And we sign the wall because you always have your team sign. And our team just, we emerged with clarity and core values. I encourage anyone who says, you know what, I have a team and I think I want to, you know, I've read EOS books and I think I want to become EOS implemented. Wow. I'm just telling you. And you're speaking at the Igniting Souls Conference. In fact, you're going to give people a taste of this book, Courage, right?
Yes. Very exciting.
Before we jump into that though, there's some intelligent things here. Besides the fact that your terrorist is bald like me, I'm just saying, come on now. Are all terrorists bald? Come on now. I'm just saying. No, but the star.
You're a tank top. Show us your tats.
There you go. Tell us what a star spelled backwards is, because this was. Like,
Well, wow. this was just something clever that I heard. It was, so a star is a rat spelled backwards. So if you take the word star, S-T-A-R-R-A-T-S. You know, so it's the opposite of.
I love it. I'm telling you these little things, like when you're busy and, you know, the entrepreneur world is very intense, little things like that, you know, are fantastic. So a boss. Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say one more thing because I'm a coach. So like when something hits my intuition, there could be some people out there who are thinking, I've been asking for a raise or I've been deserving of a raise because I close the most deals or I meet all of my quota or I've been here for 20 years. Why am I getting a raise? It really could be, this is maybe hard to hear, but it really could be because you're not a culture fit or you're doing things that aren't supporting the rest of the company. So it could be just the behaviors that you're having. And I've had lots of conversations with people who feel very entitled to a raise because they've been there for a long time and they're performing, but they're not watching their behaviors. They do things like they don't engage in the company parties. They don't turn their little things in on time.
Bad attitudes, right?
I mean, meetings.
Yeah.
You offer to train people. So it's not enough to just perform. You absolutely have to be the right person for that company too.
Well, I'll tell you what, people are digging this.
Good.
I love Patrick's outfit. I don't know if Patrick is a priest or what, but hey, he loves it. So I'm sure even in churches, you can have rats, terrorists, and stars.
That's great. If you have people in your organization.
If you have people, you have all four, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I love what people are doing. 48 shares. We have hundreds of comments.
Oh my goodness.
48 shares. This is Jill's special day. Let's talk a little bit about that. You republished these books. So I want everyone to realize this. Like, including me, because I published some books that I thought wasn't happy with that cover, the title. But you kind of said, I have these amazing books, but they're not optimized. So okay. Give some hope to people who are thinking out there, well, I got a book, but you know, I didn't really do it right. What are you thinking?
Well, first of all, I just want to let you know my mindset around writing books. I'm going to write a book a year for the rest of my life.
Whoa.
Yep. I love the book, or actually we put this in our 3-year picture, a book or the equivalent. Cause what if books don't exist in 20 years? What if it's okay. Something else, a hologram? I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's wisdom in my brain and there's fire in my belly. And I love writing. I do. I love writing. But here's what I heard from a coach years ago. And he told a story. It was maybe a parable, and I'm probably not going to do it justice. But it went something like this. A student came to a professor and said, "Professor, do you think that I could be a great writer?" And he said, "Absolutely. But are you willing to write 100 books before you become a great writer?"
Ooh.
And the student's like, "Well, no, I'm just going to like write my bestseller like on day one." And he says, "Then no, you're not ever going to become a good writer." So that's the first book that is now The Earning Advantage. That was my first crack at it. And I love it. It's good. And then The Courage Advantage, that was my second crack at it. And I love it. It's good. There's good stuff in there. And then I just sent my manuscript to the publisher, which happens to be you, yesterday for my third book. And I'm getting test reader feedback that says, this is your best book ever. And that's but I want my fourth book to be my best book ever, and my fifth and my sixth.
Yes.
So I never, a lot of people have a perfectionist complex that they're not going to release something until it's perfect. One of my friends is writing a book right now. He's been writing it for 6 years because it's still not perfect.
Wow.
And I write it and then it's done and I release it and then I get to work on another one.
That's so cool.
The republishing, though, what that's done for me is I feel like when I first published them, I was learning a lot and some really great content was produced. It just wasn't, it didn't have an expert.
Yes.
An expert in book writing and publishing.
Sure.
The content's great. So what I look at this as is I took something here from a skill level. And I didn't increase my skills in book publishing. I just partnered with you. The simplest thing ever. I partner with you, and you and your team know everything about book publishing so that I can just focus on creating really great content.
Love it.
We just little gems, we optimize them, and now the rest of the world gets to see them. They were just kind of sitting on my shelf.
Oh, yeah. But there's things that, you know, We're too close to ourselves. Just like I was too close to my idea and Brendan, Amanda slapped me upside the head. You know, I told you, why aren't you on the cover? Remember that?
Yes.
And your book. But see, you were too close to it because your old books, nothing wrong with them, but they didn't represent your fun.
It didn't.
Style. And so listen, this is vulnerable, but this is big stuff because there's a lot of people out there that need to hear this. Why were you hesitant about putting yourself on the cover?
Well, since we're on, you know, global Facebook.
Yeah, since it's just you and I talking, just go share that. Yeah.
So this is, I struggled with this for a little bit. And I had committed myself to whatever Carrie tells me to do, I'm going to do. And if he says my picture needs to go on the cover, I said, okay. But it was like I was grinning and bearing it. Okay, I'm just going to do it. Well, I have a best friend. Her name is Andrea. Sometimes I tell stories about Andrea in my sessions, and she's given me full permission. But this time, Andrea coached me.
Okay.
I said to her, oh my gosh, I don't want to be on the cover of the book. I'm really struggling with that. And she called me to task. And she said, Jill Young, you are, how did she say it? She says, you are falling in to a woman stereotype. Like, what? We're just on a walk, and she said, because I had told her, I want the book to be read for its content. I don't want someone to look at the cover and go, oh, that there's a beautiful woman. I'm going to buy that book. I'm like, I don't like that. I want to be known for what I can bring value to. And she said, you are falling into this stereotype where you think that a woman cannot be both beautiful and smart.
Boom. And that just shut you up.
Truth bomb to me. I'm kind of sweaty right now because I just told the whole entire world that story.
That's okay.
But you guys, it was awesome for her to speak truth to me that way. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And at that point, you know, although Carrie, I had committed to, I was going to do it. But at that point, I became really comfortable with it. Because why not? Can't women be beautiful and smart?
Well, right? Listen, folks.
Quirky and 100%,
100%. But you're going to be more effective when you are yourself. In other words, I think, you know, listen, I'm sorry, but when I interview people, we just go deep. So we're going deep here. But you didn't always wear sneakers.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, you did, but you didn't. So tell us about that whole thing. Because again, people are getting the book content, but I always tell people, told my mom this, writing a book changes you.
It does.
It does. Like, you are a different person. So tell us about even the way you show up at practices and the sneakers and the whole deal here. Cause I think people are, if you like Jill, type in the word Jill. Cause I think right now you're teaching us like the lessons, but you're also teaching us the deep lessons too.
It is. These are the lessons that nobody else
talks about.
Thanks a lot, Carrie.
These You're going to kill me afterwards.
That's all right. It's okay. We listen. Entrepreneurs push each other.
We do.
And if we can't be honest, then who are we? Here's the story behind the Chuck Taylors, and I'm so glad we got them on the book because they're just, it's a symbol. So if you know me and you see the front of the book, you'll go, oh my gosh, she's got her Chuck Taylors on. So when I first started this practice, I had come out like, oh, okay, I know I can do this. I know I can be a business coach. But I had this picture in my mind of what a business coach looks like. Where, you know, I'm
pearls.
At that point, what?
Pearls? I don't know. I mean, pearls? I don't know women fashion.
Oh, there's a video out there. If you search hard enough, you can find a picture of me in a red dress and pearls. But yes, it's pearls. It's high heels. I just thought that if there was any way that entrepreneurs were going to listen to me, which I like want to kill myself for saying, like, why would they listen to me? And no, that's not even what a coach does, but that's another story. But if people wanted to hire me, then I had to look like I was just perfect. So I had to have the best hair and the best makeup and the best shoes and the best dress and the best pearls. And oh my gosh, all I want to do is live in my jammy pants and a gray hoodie. Like, that is not me at all. I was just raised very rough and tumble.
Yeah.
Not me. So one day I had gone to a session and it was a traveling session. I opened my suitcase and I only had one high heel in there. And I had no choice, but I always traveled in Chuck Taylors. Even when I wore dresses, I would change into my Chucks and it was kind of funny.
Like,
nobody cared, right? So I had a choice. I could either go barefoot. I could wear one high heel all day, or I could wear my Chucks. And I'm just like, well, all right, chuck it. I didn't say that, but you know, I know
there,
where I'm
going. Yeah.
So I put on this Chuck Taylors. And the clients at first went, what in the world? And I'm like, well, here, funny story. I only have one heel. Carrie, it was the best session of my life.
Whoa. Check that out, folks. Check that out.
The very best. So I started wearing the Chuck Taylors all the time. Pretty soon, the rest of me got just a little more casual. And then my coach, Dan Sullivan, your friend and mine, he said to me this beautiful, beautiful quote. And he's always coming up with beautiful statement. But this one, I'm almost getting a little teary. Because when you get one-on-one time with Dan Sullivan, it's like freaking gold. And I was thanking him for something, and I told him this little story. It was actually in a video that he produced about me and Strategic Coach. And he said, Jill, whenever you put something, anything between you and your client, you're going to get a lower quality result.
Wow.
And he said those years where you were wearing heels and dresses and pearls, you were putting something, it was a shell. And then you think about how many layers are there between us. I get my heels and now I'm like, oh, nobody wants to hire me because I'm a woman. And now nobody wants to hire me because I'm from Fort Worth. And now nobody wants to hire me because I'm a Mormon. I'm not a very good Mormon, but there's just all of those things. And so you just peel those away. And now my business is better than ever. And sometimes people will walk in and they're like, oh, you're in like jeans and Chuck Taylors. I'm like, yep, you ready for some magic? Let's get down to business.
And I'm going to charge you a high fee, like even though I'm wearing Chuck Taylors, right? That's so good. Folks.
It's the value. The value's gone up because I'm more real with them. And I can speak open and honest if we're tying off everything back together.
This is so good. So the earning advantage is about you not only adding value, but it's about you authentically being you. Because that's, let's face it, here's the big aha. That's where you bring the most value, like you just said with Dan. Wow.
That's great.
Folks, that was gold. That was gold. If you found that little tangent, now Joe's going to kill me after because I brought up all this good stuff. But I'm telling you, that's what people are going to remember. That's what people are going to remember. It's the earning advantage story. And that's why she's a good writer, folks. She tells about her son trying a new restaurant in one of these books. The point is this, like, good writing is making a point and telling a story. And that's why these books are fun and helpful. In fact, let's give away the next prize. And I can't believe how many people are sharing this. And supporting you.
Thank you.
And how many of you are going to go out and get the book? Okay. Because again, we're not giving away every book today, but let's give away the Courage Advantage and let's jump right into it and talk about it. So, talk to us why courage is needed more than ever today.
Well, I'm gonna kind of back up just a little bit. And there's something that I experience, and I've been a business coach for 6 years now, and there's something that I experienced, and I was noticing it, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but some teams would walk into this room like yours, Carrie, very courageous, and yep, we know that's going to be hard, but we know we got to do it. Who's taking the to-do? We got it. We're together. Very courageous. And then some teams were coming in here with lots of fear. They would say things like, well, I know we've got to take care of that terrorist, since we all know that model now, but I'm afraid. There's too much riding on that person. They know too much. They bring in too much revenue. And I was just starting to see that there was just this big difference between the teams who had courage. They were hitting their numbers. They were hiring the right people, attracting right people. The teams that had fear, that they quit, quite frankly, they quit. They disguised their fear with, we don't have time, we don't have money, we don't have the budget, our industry doesn't work that way. They disguised their fear as these some other things, and they didn't hit their numbers, like, over and over again. And they weren't making big, bold decisions. So after I kind of figured that out, I took about a year during my sessions just really watching for this. I want to validate my theory. So I would watch and I'm like, yes, this team is courageous. They're killing it. This team is not. They're not killing it. So I thought, well, how about I share this discovery with the rest of the world, what it looks like to be a person or a team of courage. And then there's some good ideas in there and some good inspirational stories. But here's the thing, the opposite of courage is that fear. And there's tons of fear being like pushed on us right now. Yeah. I'm not a newscaster. I'm really good at staying in my positivity bubble. My kids make fun of me because I have my positivity bubble. But it's now a strategy. I had one of my clients say the other day, your positivity and your encouragement is what kept us going.
Whoa.
And I didn't, I can't be that person if I'm letting fear into my bubble,
Yeah.
So I think now more than ever, arming yourself with courage and then standing together with other courageous people. It's like, we got this. Well, we got this if we'll stick together courageously. That's why it's more important than ever.
I love it. And I'll tell you what else I love is we talked for a bunch about the subtitle. And because subtitles, by the way, folks, you know, those of you who are listening, who are authors, like you need to explain the benefits of the book. And what I love though about this, there's not many business books that talk about having fun. I mean, come on now. And a culture of experimentation. So just look at the subtitle, folks. Three mindset your team needs and you need. And I need to cultivate fierce discipline. That's amazing. Wow. Fierce discipline, incredible fun, and a culture of experimentation. And I love in books, this is so weird, but I love paradigms. Okay. I love paradigms. So talk to us about the courage mindset and the model and fun and experimentation. Give us some thoughts.
So first of all, I want to not take credit for this, because like I said, once I figured out it was the courage and the fear that was the difference, then I just went to work going, oh, well, what does that courage look like in these winning teams? What does it look like? And I started, you should see my mind map. I kept it because it was so much fun. I kept adding to it. And then I just kept condensing and condensing and condensing. So I really wish I would have just made this up out of thin air, but I didn't. Yeah. And what's good about that is now, you know, when you know that it's a true experiment, I don't know, maybe real scientists would argue with me because it's still anecdotal sample size, you know, but about 100 teams. When you have that and you say, this has already worked for these teams, then you can go emulate it. And it's not just kind of an idea from my heart. It's real stuff. So I wish I would have said fierce discipline and fun and experimentation, but it actually revealed itself to me through my research. So discipline, you guys, discipline is just doing what you say you're going to do. It's doing things that are hard. We kind of talked about it with the earning advantage, that sacrifice.
Yeah.
Perfect example. You know, here we go. It was March 12th. That's the day the pandemic became real for me, because that's the day they canceled hockey. Hockey fan. And I had a handful of clients that called and said, what do we do? What do we do? I'm like, you do nothing. You stick to your disciplines. You keep doing the same thing you've always done. Wow. You meet every week for your level 10 meeting. You get your to-dos done. We increased the meeting pulse, but we didn't change the discipline. So it's that's where it's fierce. That's where it takes courage. Because on the days where you might say, oh, you know, I was going to write for 2 hours today, but oh, my grandma called. You can't say no to grandma. You have to answer the phone. Mom, this is why I don't answer your phone calls. I know mom's watching, right? Because I'm working. I'm disciplined. So it's that discipline to say, no, I'm not going to answer that phone call from grandma. I'm going to stay in my discipline. So that's the fierce discipline. And these teams that have courage, they have it. They have it. And I just see them doing it all the time. You know, the fun part, right? This incredible fun. What I started to notice, that these were the teams that came to my session room where we would laugh.
Yes. You're onto that. That we've laughed more in the last 4 months than we have in the last 10 years. And that might sound crazy, like during a pandemic. Why? Talk to us. Why is that?
It's so important. I am just, so here we go, right? We're always getting better. I knew it was a thing, and I'm just a fun person. So I'm like, well, look at that's kind of cool. You know, I'm fun and I get to work with courageous, fun teams. And I even thought to myself, oh, this isn't a thing. It's just me making my teams have fun. Or it's those clients that already are fun have chosen me. It wasn't correlated. Mm-hmm. But I tested all of my evidence with other coaches like myself. And they said, yeah, it's a real thing. It's not just you, Jill. I kind of wanted to think it was just me, but it wasn't. Now I'm even learning more about this. There's a book called Tiny Habits by BJ Fogg. And he's saying that when we celebrate and have fun with things and when we laugh, it actually, especially when we do it right after a really great habit, or, you know, like after we have a level 10 meeting, we say 10 and we high five, right? It's putting a little bit of dopamine into your system where you're actually creating a habit. Wow. Because you're having fun with it. So why can't we have discipline and fun? And then that fun just makes the discipline more and more attractive. So it's a real thing, and there's science behind fun. What?
I love it. I love it. Well, that is fantastic. Yeah, keep going.
Well, the last one is experimentation. And this is just what I noticed with courageous teams. They didn't feel like they needed to be perfect. Mm-hmm. They said, what's our best idea? It might not work, but we're going to try it anyway. And I know, Carrie, you and your team are constantly experimenting. Oh, yeah. What works better? How can we serve our clients better? What words work better? You know, what platforms work better? And they're just always upgrading. A culture of experimentation really means that in these companies, they just, they never settle for the status quo. They're always saying, how could it be better? And they just don't worry about failing, because failing is just your next try.
I love it. Well, Cal Mitchell, I'm glad you did pay attention today, because listen, you are the winner. Erica just messaged me. So you're going to be getting this. Erica's going to get your address, but you're going to get a signed copy. Fantastic. But you know, I've heard Edison had a culture of experimentation. Elon Musk has this culture of experimentation. Like, you have to be able to have risk. Like, is courage and risk somehow tied together? What do you think?
Courage and risk somehow tied together. Well, absolutely. I was talking with another coach the other day, and she said, Jill, you're so bold in your coaching, and you're never fearful of just being bold. And I said, time out. And I am bold in my coaching. Carrie, you and I've had many conversations where I've been bold with you, and you've gone, oh my gosh, that's what I needed. But every time I take that risk in being bold, there's a risk that, Carrie, you're going to go, oh no, you don't talk to me that way. Yeah. I'm gone.
Yeah.
There's a
relational risk. Yeah.
Right. There's a risk in being bold, but here's where the courage comes in. If I don't have just a little bit of fear just before I'm about to be bold, then I just feel like I'm being arrogant. Mm. So I love that I feel, and I shared this with this other coach, I still get butterflies in my stomach just before I'm about ready to have a courageous moment or be bold. I still do that. And we're human. And I hope I always do that. I hope I always do that. I couldn't sleep last night because we're doing this launch. It's like, okay, am I going to add value? And, you know, is the technology going to work? And what should I wear? And all of that. So, yes, that's the risk that we take. We take risks in being authentic and being bold. Mm-hmm. The other side of that is just where we come out authentically. And then the results are always more better when you're courageous.
I love it. This is so good. I look at all these people that are here. Each one of them is courageous.
Yeah.
You know, I think about Sandy, who's about to take a risk with a new branding thing all around a duck, believe it or not, you know? But a duck, yeah. So, you know, Brenda's taking risks with eyewear. She's a doctor. Like, I want to hear everybody just post your most recent risk, even if it's, I'm going to try a new dish at the takeout place. In fact, tell us that story. You got a story about your son.
That's right. That's Dylan's story.
And while they're jotting these down, we're going to give away the last two prizes, folks. So now's your time to catch Erica's attention. We're going to be giving away Writer Academy Elite, and we're going to be giving away Engagement and Influence program. So share, tag, but tell us the story about the Chinese, I think it was Chinese food.
Yeah, so Dylan and I go to lunch every other Saturday. I take the boys to lunch, one-on-one mom time. And he loves to go to this certain Asian restaurant, loves it. And I said, hey, how about we try a new Asian restaurant? It's right around the corner from the house. We could walk there. And he goes, no, what if it's gross? And then I said, but what if it's not? And the very best Asian food has been around the corner from us this whole time. So he relented, because as you can probably imagine, I'm quite persuasive. And he said, okay, Mom, because sometimes my boys know when to pick their battles, right? Okay, Mom, let's go ahead and try this new Asian restaurant. It sucked. It was so gross. It was bland, and like the tables were sticky. Like it was not good at all. And he's like, I told you so. And I said, you did. You told me so. And now we can go back to the other place. But it's, you know, nobody died. We were fine. We had an experience. And then, you know, of course, I argue, now we know that that isn't to the best. And now we know we've maybe chosen the right one. But experiment, fail, no big deal. Just try again.
I love it. That's fantastic. Jill, give us the, I'm just dropping in some links. We're picking some winners here. Oh, tell us the, you have a trilogy. You have the earning advantage, the courage advantage, and the thinking advantage. What's your big dream? I mean, you are a fantastic coach. You're coaching our team. Our team wants to ignite 100 million souls by 2030. So, I mean, you're working through people. But give us your big dream.
Yep. So my big dream has the number 1 million in it. And I love to work in small groups. I love to work with entrepreneurs like Carrie. There was a time where I really wanted to be, you know, a speaker on stage with 5,000 people. And you guys, it just wasn't fulfilling for me. I didn't feel like I was really making a difference. But I love to work with these entrepreneurs. But what really fires me up is working with maximizing entrepreneurs. So like Carrie, you influence so many other people. So this is how I get to my number of 1 million. I want to serve 1,000 maximizers like you, like Dan Sullivan, 1,000 maximizers. And how I define maximizer is that you have the potential to influence 1,000 more people. So that's how I'm going to get to my million. But that's my big 10-year target. That's 2030. That's where I'm going.
That is a huge, huge win. I love it. I love what you've inspired so many people. I mean, you got to check this out. Kristen's launching her website. This is something courageous. Kirsten's having a courageous moment. Cal's having a courageous moment. Folks, this was so good today. I mean, this was amazing. The content, the earning advantage. Well, do me a favor, folks. After you get this book, I mean, after you watch this training, go on Amazon and review it. You got enough sample to say, hey, I've been exposed to this message. It's fantastic. So Erica's going to put some links in for Amazon. But let's give away Writer Academy Elite, and let's give away Engagement and Influence. And as we're getting that set, talk to us a little bit about what you're speaking about at conference.
Down to its essence. We're going to do a lot of kind of workshopping stuff. I'm going to ask you really deep coaching questions. So it's almost as if you're going to be coached live right there. But we're really going to dig just a little bit deeper, because what I've discovered is there are a handful of ceilings that keep you that keep you from being courageous. And what we really need is that one big leap. This is usually just one big leap helps you move to the next stage. But I'm really going to help everybody dive into it and figure out, I'm going to show you the ceilings, and then I'm going to see if you guys can figure out what those, that one big leap is that you need to take to get to that next level of courage.
That is so good. And that, you nailed it. We had hit a ceiling in our business, and every business, every person should. And we had a breakthrough with courage for the next level. That's what you're teaching.
You did. You absolutely did.
And you're going to show people how to do that.
I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to share with you some examples of people who are hitting ceilings at certain levels, but then only you'll know exactly what you need to do to break through your own personal ceiling. But what I found is when I kind of break it down into simple steps for you, you're able to see it just a little more clearly. So that's what I'm really excited to do at conference.
Everybody's lighting up the whole screen. In fact, if you're coming to conference, go ahead and type in ISC for Igniting Souls Conference. I love what Brenda says, Dr. Brenda. When an hour launch seems like 10 minutes, it is a huge success. I can't believe what's already been an hour.
Thank you, Dr. Brenda. Me too. I'm like,
yes. Well, Jill, this was fantastic. We're putting in links for your website as well. We put in links for the Amazon folks. It's a great gift to give somebody. You know, right now you can give somebody the gift of courage or the gift of a raise. Do that. Believe in somebody. So, Jill, thanks so much. I'm going to give you the last word. Any final word that you want to say to the people?
I'm just going to end with appreciation and gratitude. I've seen lots of friends on here, a lot of people who I'm excited to be your friend. Hopefully we'll get to meet at conference with that awesome new technology that Carrie found for us. But I'm just so appreciative. Business owners out there, creators out there, you're really lifting our world up right now. And we need this more than ever right now. So thank you for spending an hour with me. You filled me up, right? Show up, filled up. Yep. And I just couldn't be happier to have spent the last hour with you. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Love it. I'm going to tell Janisha a piece of advice too. In fact, she was a winner for one of the books. How do I get you as a coach? I'm not financially able to afford you at this moment. I'll tell you what, if I can answer that, this is your coach. Like, seriously. In other words, before I could afford Dan Sullivan, because he's not cheap, I could afford this guy, this old dude who's amazing and smart, this was my coach. Yeah. So, folks, that's why books are not going anywhere, because you can literally have dead people like, you know, Socrates and these people who've lived before us. But, Jill, is that another reason why you're writing books as well?
Absolutely. Because I know where my power is right here in the session room with entrepreneurs and their leadership teams. The stuff I'm teaching is great. The insights we're having is great. But this actually gets the word out, gets the coaching out to more people. So, Janisha, it's the book is actually organized as a coaching session. I don't tell people that, but it really is. I teach you something and then I ask you to reflect on it. The other thing you could do is I do have lots of videos on my website. The videos help you take 5 quiet minutes after you read something or watch something and just listen to yourself. That's the best advice I could give you right now, because you do have the answers. Maybe something in the book speaks to you. Maybe something today spoke to you. Take 5 quiet minutes and listen to yourself. Turn your phone off. Turn the news off. I'm just a big believer that the answers are within. We have them. And a good coach just helps you bring them out. See if that works for you.
Love it. Always helping out. Thank you so much, Jill. This was a fantastic day. Congratulations on your launch day. These 2 amazing babies now out in the world. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you. You are just nothing short of brilliant.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant genius. Thank you
very much. All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see ya.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.